Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. You're radiating, aren't you? How is your radiating going? My name is Veronica Entwistle, because most of you know that, or you probably wouldn't have tuned in. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I like to work with you because we're all awakening. All over the world, there's a shift taking place. We wanted it to take place in 4 seconds last December, but that we knew it wasn't going to happen that way, didn't we, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, there's a shift taking place where a lot of us, you included, are waking up some bit by bit by bit, some in a state of resistance, some going pop, and then shining like little lights and emanating, sending in consciousness a light around the world, lights you, lights me. You say hi, you light me with your frequency. I say hi, and I light you with my frequency. And then where we get snagged on past beliefs and reactions and karma and lineage and hoodly-hoo, right? The whole job tonight for me and many nights that we're on Radiance by Design and other places we go is to unhook those snags so that, for example, if you call in tonight and you talk about something that's really weighing you down, I trust my guides and angels, yours as well, and me and my perceptions and yours as well, to unhook that and let you pop up, to spiral inside and become, very often change the energy, change the realities, but the Arcturian Chronicles say at the very end of them, change the energy because we unhook you from something that's way down deep inside with the movement of subtle energy. And I also like talking about whereabouts in your body it is and what does that mean. I was talking to someone today, a woman I've become very fond of, actually, and she has a lot of body pain. And we worked with her on Radiance by Design before. And we noticed that in some of our past lives, we've been naughty, we've been mean, we've been egregious, we've been dominating. But also in some of our past lives, we've been sweet and vulnerable and super awakening. And some of them we've been completely trampled, beaten up, and held down, and so on. Anyway, way down deep in this woman, and there are several other people I'm thinking of, so this might be a concoction of more than one person. The way we hold our self judgments in, the way we hold the judgments inside of ourselves, can often suppress the immune system. And those judgments on ourselves or other people on you, and then you believe it, so you have to stay beating yourself up, talk about a hair shirt, can actually pull down the way you are inside and depress your immune system. So it's really interesting that if you take that to another level, that, for example, fibromyalgia is very often a disease of women, and it's a dis-ease kind of thing, a suppression dis-ease very often in women who are, for whatever,
Joanne online too.
Thank you very much. Oh, goody, we've already got a caller, but I'm going to finish this thought, and then I'm going to take my first caller. The suppression of women because we're trying to live in the convention, or we're trying to be less powerful than our man, or we think we can't get a man because we're too powerful. Remember, a lot of us were told when we were little girls, don't let them know how smart you are. You'll never get a man. And that's kind of cheeky, you might say, but on a deep level or on a very grand level and a deep level, that is a very big suppression that comes from a convention, a time in convention where women were supposed to be the sidekick or the support of the male. Most of the men I know and love are not like that at all now. But it has required even for them the moving up out of this conventional holding pattern. And sometimes we hold ourselves down through self-judgment, condemnation, shame on things that we've done before. So a lot of times if you're going to call in and talk about where you feel suppressed or where you have pain, mental, physical, emotional, or just feeling stuck or resistant, we might look for the ways that you yourself are holding yourself in just to be a good girl or to be a good boy. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to do a lot of energy work so that your radiance can pop up. And like we said before, it sticks out of your body and you catch the person. person next to you, and it sticks out of their body, and they catch the person next to them, and the whole vibrational fabric perks up. And that, to me, is a nice way of explaining awakening. So now we have Joanne on line one. Hello, Joanne. How are you this evening?
Okay, and yourself?
I am really good, because guess what? It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Do you have a question for me? I like having a birthday because I think I'm the center of the universe, which each of us is anyway, because it's kind of a subjective affair, isn't it?
Right.
Come on, what would you like to ask?
Well, I received a link to the website.
Oh,
and
great.
Something about a show, so I honestly don't exactly know what you're discussing at this point.
Okay, well, we're discussing you right now, darling. What I was really saying was that this is a show that's a call-in show, and it's
right.
A radiance by design, meaning who you are radiates out in the world. So if you're holding yourself back, you're radiating that, and if you're holding yourself in a state of growing light, you're radiating that, and then everything we radiate is in some kind of dialogue with the radiances from other people. So you got this amazing
right.
fabric out there, and when you call in, I can see that you have several things. What we do is look into your soul journey, or if you have a specific question, we stick to that right now. But way down deep in your soul's journey, you've got a depth, and you've got an untapped kind of gifting part of your nature, and it looks to me like it's kind of caught behind a bunch of old beliefs or habitual ways of thinking and seeing. And what we like to do is move some of that so that you get a little freer, you know? But if you have a specific
okay.
question, you can ask me. And then after you hang up, we're going to do a meditation, and we get everybody to do a meditation together because it gives us a vibrational cohesive or coherency out there, you know? Is that enough of an
okay.
explanation? And
no.
then we do anything we darn well want.
Well, the reason that I was sent the link is because my brother was murdered last year.
Oh, dear.
And, yeah. So talk about a setback.
Yeah, do you know anything about the circumstance? Can you, it takes less time if you can just tell us enough that we can dig in through the middle of it.
Sure. He was stabbed to death.
Okay.
Well, he was stabbed and he bled to death.
And what's his
outside
person?
of it was an illegal rave.
Oh.
What
does that mean, an illegal rage? Was he stealing something?
Oh, they were holding like an after hours type thing that wasn't on the books.
Oh, a rave. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how old was he, Joanne?
How old was he?
Yeah.
33.
Okay. And his first name, if you don't mind?
Melvin.
And he was kind of, well, oh my gosh. He shouldn't have been there. He's actually quite, he was quite, you know, he liked to act a little bit tough sometimes, but he also was quite naive, you know that?
I wouldn't have said naive, no, but.
Well, okay, here's what I'm seeing inside. It's kind of an innocence. I don't think he's mean. I don't think he was a brutal kind of guy. I think he might have been doing some kind of, maybe he was doing ecstasy or something, but there were people around him. There were two guys around him that were very dark that shouldn't have been there at all. You know, like they were...
Okay.
Maybe when I say dark, I'm going, maybe they were really messed up. When I see your brother, I see something in his head, so he was doing some kind of drug or something. But there's a kind of a lightness in him. I called it naivety. We could call it innocence, or he's a nice guy underneath it all. But there are two guys that they were in a scuffle, and it was they were out of their tree. They must have been into something heavier, but they weren't good people underneath. I don't see any light underneath, you know. So he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's tried to make contact. Have you heard from him? Because he's trying to make contact.
Yeah. Yeah, in a way. In our own way, yeah. I pay attention.
We have another caller, but we'll let her wait for a little while till we finish talking to you, Joanne. But I just find that I find he's trying to make contact, and he's very, very ashamed. Do you know that? I don't think he should have been there. He was in the wrong place, and he kind of knew it. He knew it deep down that he should not be there, but he couldn't bring himself to leave, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And he's having a hard time. Is your mom still living? Because he's having a hard time about her. Yeah.
I know.
It's just too much. How many kids were there in the family?
Well, my brother himself, my brothers and sisters, there's six of us between two marriages on each of my parents. So both my parents were married before. Then they got together and had my brother and I. And we're only 14 months apart.
Oh, okay.
So we're very close.
Your mom is quite a mess.
My brother himself had three boys. I'm sorry. He had three sons, and then posthumously, his first daughter was born.
Huh. Oh, my gosh. What a mess. Well, what was he doing there? Because he's saying, I shouldn't have been there. I should not have done this. He's very ashamed.
Well, because I think he liked to stay in the house a lot as well. And there's an issue with certain groups of people and his friends and them not getting along. So I think he knew those people were shady.
Yeah, that's a very, very... it's really... And he's saying it's a very stupid... The whole thing was really stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Because
I'd like to know what the argument or what this fight even came about from. Like, I think that I'm having a hard time with that. Not so much as, you know, blaming or pointing fingers, but really understanding how it all came about.
I don't think you're going to get really clear, but what I'm seeing here is he's ashamed because it was really about nothing. It was more about the substance, whatever they had in their heads. And one of the guys is not a good man. I'm sorry, but he's been abused so much that he has this kind of dark, kind of a pathological aspect to himself.
Right.
And your brother knew not to mess with him, but they were messing around with something, some kind of maybe, I don't think it was just booze. I think they were messing around with
kind. Well, I know he and stuff like that, but he really wasn't one to do, you know, hard drugs.
Well, his friend was doing it. And the fight they had was really stupid. It had no real content, but their brains were reacting from a very ridiculous place. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, what are they doing? And and he was your brother. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I think the other thing is that there was a fight. And he was stabbed, but my brother was found. It wasn't just like a stabbing and somebody could. They didn't call the ambulance, they didn't call the police. He actually bled to death. He either ran to the backyard, but I keep getting this feeling that it was more than two. There was three people involved, and that they carried him in the backyard because he was found in a very odd position.
One of them was a woman. The other one is a woman.
Yeah, I've said that. I've said that there's something about a girl.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with my brother is, you know, he was a ladies' man, so to speak. And there's a few different females, you know, that have come to the surface, I suppose, since this has happened. One being his daughter's mother, which he didn't know for very long.
Mm. But did he have, I mean, was he living with all his kids?
No.
Okay. I think this woman was very, very sensitive and probably still is, and yet she was kind of, I think they were all doing some kind of drugs, and maybe your brother wasn't, but they were, because her brain isn't right. She's, these are, and they're all going, oh, crap, what are we going to do now, like that. But I see that one of the guys is really dark from head to toe. I don't mean dark-skinned. He could be fair. I don't know.
No, I know. I understand.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you mean.
And they all went, holy crap, what are we going to do now? He's going to die. Let's get him out of here. It's really terrible stuff. It's like no brains, no brainers. And he knows that. He's ashamed, you know? What a waste, he says. What a waste.
I want to make sure that, you know, the thought of him being in that backyard by himself.
Yeah. I know, honey, but I think he passed out. I think he was in quite a bit of a dreamland. So wasn't lying there and having excruciating pain for the whole time. He was spaced way out. You know, we could have called in
somebody, but I don't think that person had as much to do with the actual stabbing or whatever. He may be involved, but I think that there's other parties that have not been, you know.
I think you're right, except I want to say this, Joanne, that there isn't a real, it's not like a thieving thing. It's a stupid, mind messed up, stupid brawl. I just want to call it stupid. There's no redeeming feature. Nobody got rich. Nobody got, you know, anything, really.
Right.
Everyone lost, including your brother.
Did he go into the yard by himself? Because,
no.
I mean, it was quite a distance.
No, he didn't go out there by himself.
I mean, this is one of those old mill buildings, so it was, you know, he had to go downstairs and come across a parking lot and up a street and take a right in. I mean, it wasn't just right next door, you know?
Wasn't there any blood along on the stairs? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, and all the way up the street, and there was a point where you could see where he must have fell, or he's laying down in the road because his handprint and blood was on the road. And then there was, you know, sputum with blood, and also blood on the homeowners on the car as he went up the driveway, and then he, you know, took a right.
Yeah, no, I think he was guided or helped at least a part of it. But he was a little out of his tree, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's probably the best I can do, and we need to get on to the next caller. But I hope you find more. But you know what, Joanne? I don't think you're going to find what satisfies you, which would be something to make sense of it all. He's trying to say, I'm ashamed. I should not have been in that situation. It was ridiculous. And he knew it all along because he's highly intuitive.
Yes, he is, and I am too. And I had dreams about this, so I told him many times. Please watch out. And I had, you know, the wake-ups crying like it's real dream about this. So,
yeah. Well, you know, if I were you, I'd talk to him because he's still twirling around being kind of trapped by his feelings. But I need to say goodbye for now, so stay in touch if you feel like it. And thank you for your call, Joanne.
Thank you.
Bless your brother. All right. Now, that's an interesting one because the thing is, most of us go through experiences where you get intuitive hits inside yourself and then don't follow them, and he should have followed it. So he's pretty, he's having to unlock an emotional kind of container around himself, having shame with his family and so on. So anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying, hello, everyone. I'm so glad to talk to you. And let's clear the energy of that because we're talking transcendence today, and Joanne's going to be doing a lot of that, and I hope she'll call back in. And Cynthia, you're on the line, and you're welcome.
Hi, Veronica.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm having a wonderful time on my birthday.
Well, you should. You deserve it.
I'm the most important person in my universe today. Are you?
I would like to be.
So what's up with you, darling? You're looking good, but you got a backache or a neckache or something. You're having trouble with who you are and where you're going and what are you doing, girl?
Exactly, all of the above. Well, I have a minor knee injury at the moment that I don't like, but I haven't seen a doctor about it yet because I keep on thinking it'll go away.
Is it the right knee?
It's the left knee, actually. I was running, and like I'm very physical, and I like to run, and I was being very full of myself running, and I fell, and I just thought I just did some scrapes, but now a month later, there's water on the knee, and I keep, and I didn't notice it. I just didn't notice it until a few days ago.
Well, so, let me just jump around for a minute, Cynthia. What do you want to do for a living?
This is what I'm calling about. I wish I could, you know, I've helped my daughter, as you know, and she's doing fantastic, and now she's got accepted into the university that she came here to get accepted into, and things
Woo-hoo!
Are rolling in her direction. And
good.
It's great. I mean, all that's a good thing, and now it's my turn, in a sense, and I really don't have a clue, and I'm just confused, very, very confused, and
Well, you know what's really interesting? We've been talking about the body, and the left leg is support from the feminine, or support from your own feminine side, which is your intuitive side, your listening, your inner listening, and so on. And I know you're a highly intuitive woman. And when I look at you, I go, well, you have to pivot into your world differently than you've been doing, and you've got to drop into that subtle, soft, feminine part of your nature to get the answers. It's really interesting. And I know you've taken some healing courses, right?
I don't know. I took a certified life coaching. I mean, I got a certified life coach. I don't know if I've taken the true healing courses formally.
You want to be a life coach?
Yeah. When anybody, I mean, you could ask me, and my daughter could ask me, and my dog could ask me.
Whoa.
I have no clue right now. I'm really blocked about what I'm passionate about, and I have a lot of things that I could pursue. I mean, I've met people there, and I met people here and there, and I think, well, that I could do that, or I could do that, and then I don't take any action. No,
have you sat
know.
Down and talked to your guides, and have you sat down and said to Spirit, all right, take me where you want me to be, and give yourself a time to just surrender? Have you done any of that?
I've done a lot of praying, so to speak. I've flirted with the idea of hiking the Camino, which is that 500-mile hike from France to Spain. I don't know if you are familiar with that hike or not.
I am, and the last person I know who did it said, don't stay in the hostels because she got bed bugs there, and she left.
Oh, and I have read about those. So
okay.
I had energy for that, and then that dwindled, and then energy came back for that, and then that dwindled again. So that's been kind of, you know, and I think I just want to do that because I'm so lost.
And what about your son? Is he back in the West Coast? You've got both sons in the West Coast?
Yes. My son went back to California, and he wanted to do a restaurant, but his dad persuaded him to wait, so he's waiting. And my other son is in Arizona, and he's a little bit lost, too. And I sense he's a little bit angry at me for not getting my life together. I don't know why I feel that from him, from Christopher, but I do. I think it's like
probably because he did, and he had to, didn't he?
Well, yeah, but he didn't really. He's not really got his life together, and he's with a wonderful girl, and now he's smoking pot more often than I thought, and he's now again trying to find his place in the world, and he's a little bit scattered, and I think he wants me to write my book about Clint Eastwood, and he wants me to stop doing nothing, in his opinion.
What's your book about again?
Well, it's my 10 years with Clint Eastwood.
Oh, right, okay.
And I thought maybe when I was done here, I would find a place where, and I really want to be at a beach, if that's any answer. If I can answer anything, I could say I want to go live at a beach.
But not on the East Coast, but on the West Coast?
Doesn't matter. It could be Florida. It could be New England. It could be, I don't care. I'm just in a very, very non-place. I'm not used to being here. And I have prayed and asked for direction. And all I can hear is that it's not time for me to know yet. Well, it's getting time soon because Cassandra's going off to UNC Chapel Hill, and we're leaving Asheville, and her dad's going to stop paying the rent, and I need to do something. So, and I don't want to stay here.
And are you working?
I'm working as a hostess for $10 an hour. That's the most people will pay here for anything. And it's beginning to bother me. I was even asked to manage the restaurant for $10 an hour.
You're right.
And I said no.
But I think you're going to move north, A, and B, it looks like you've got a little period of time. But if you saw, and this is for everybody to do, if you look up at the great central sun and you drop a line of light down through your head, down through your spine, and into the core of the earth, and just keep doing that for a bit, because when you say you're lost, I'm going, you have this beautiful light deep down inside, and that needs to be punctured or penetrated so that it can flow, that light can flow through you. Because I want to say this to you, Cynthia, and to other people. You feel like you have a lot of almost PTSD or shock from all that you've been through, and it's really hard for those shock waves to slow down. So you need to slow them down, and then you're going to take a really different direction. And I really feel if you don't think that life coach is going to work for you, I would say get into some kind of healing course soon, because you're going to know a lot about, I guess, talking, expressing, helping people, doing some energy, talking to people. There's a book around it. So you've got all these different aspects of yourself, but you have to get right into the deepening center of self before you will feel sure, you see. You got to be sure about it to go in a certain direction. Right now you're in overwhelm. But I want to say, Cynthia, it's a lot like PTSD, if you know what I mean.
No.
Okay, well, you know what PTSD is, eh?
No.
It's when you've had a lot of shocks and traumas, and then you just can't settle yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
And how many years have
it.
You had of that? Quite a few, right?
Yeah, about 11.
Yeah, and you started your childhood with a fair amount of stuff going on, too. So we're saying that right now you have the opportunity, because the kids, they might need you in a way, but they don't need you. You see?
Right, correct.
They'll always need you, but they don't need you. And so it's your turn. And when somebody takes all these chains off somebody and says, okay, now it's your turn, then all that trauma stuff that's been buried in there starts to flip around. And you can't really think on your own behalf, because you're used to duty being the thing that guides you. And it's not duty right now. It's well, it is duty if you're looking after yourself. But it's really a deepening that you need to come to. You need to go into that place. And I really keep seeing, and I saw this a long time ago, but it's very loud right now, getting centered, deepening, and then adding it like an energy or healing course to your life coaching thing, and just getting going. Somehow there's a church. I think you're going to head west. This is a prediction. You can laugh at predictions and change them anytime you want. But it looks like you're going to head west, and you're going to get involved in some kind of church thing, which might be like a unity church or agape or something. I don't know. But through it, you're going to make the social connections that move you toward having your own freestyle kind of counseling system, probably a life coach system. But also I see books, so you can tell Chris to calm down, that the book will just emerge through you in a while.
Okay.
And I see it more centered and more positive than it's been for 10 years since I've known you anyway.
Okay. At first you said a possible move north. Is that a temporary move before the west?
Yeah, I think it looks like you've got a real attraction north. Does that make sense?
It could. I mean, when you say north, how far north? I mean.
Let me see. It's not. It's like two-thirds up the country.
Okay.
And then from there, I know where did you live before, where you were hoping to get to? Remember, nothing came together. You were having an awful time there. I think Colin was living, your son was living near there.
Oh, that was Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay. I don't think you liked that area.
I liked it only because it was a change from where I was. Not necessarily I liked it because I liked it. I just liked it because it was a change.
Do you have a friend there?
I have a couple friends there, yes.
Yeah, okay. So it may be like that you go there to just refresh for a bit. And then I think when you refresh, you had, looks like you go through an association over to the West Coast. But there's something about taking a course that enhances you. You have a deepening intuitive awareness, and you have an awareness of healing energy. and you also have your life coaching thing. And I think you're just going to move that slowly but surely. And I know you want to get into communications, but once you've got your own little, and it starts off small, little clientele going, then you can move into communications. You just have to have a pedestal that you can take. You know what I mean? A foundation?
Yeah, I do. I do.
And the communications seem to be first more in written and then later in spoken and expanded that way, you know? So I would see it as, we'll do a wrap here. This is for people at home, too. When you've had a lot of trauma, you've had a lot of loss, you've thrown yourself up against the wall and things don't seem to work and your kids are going AWOL and you've got to go and do something about that. That's a lot of energy going in a lot of ways. Being like an instrument, we can feel twanged and we can't really get ourselves centered for a while. And so we're saying to you, Cynthia, your real job is to get yourself centered and get that light grounded in the earth and know without question that you have a wonderful service to give and you need to be guided into how to give it. And don't listen too much to the kids. Cassandra doesn't need you right now. Does
okay.
She? No, she's good.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, she knows herself better than she ever did before.
That's very true. That's very, very true.
You get to go to the top of the class on that, Mother.
Okay.
So do you understand what I mean is that you can't find the center if the center is whirling all over the place. So remember, we dropped the light in from the great central sun down through your body into the core of the earth. And just keep doing that and feel it go through. And you can also throw in a star. Everybody wrap yourself in a, put a big three-dimensional Star of David around your body and spin and spin and spin it. And that's another way to unhook those little strings of energy that between you and a whole bunch of past experiences. And it really purifies what's inside that star, and that'll be you. Purifying is what you want. You want the transcendence or transformation from experience. Anyway, I don't mean to give you a big, long lecture. I just am glad to talk to you, and I want to see you relax, drop into center, and I'll tell you what, it's like all of a sudden you pick up speed and you know what you're doing. But it does look like you're going to go visit some people up north.
Like in the Wisconsin area.
That's what it looks like. I'm not good on a map. It's just that you're going to know in a few days whether or not that's the right location or if it's Boston or if it's, I don't think it's right to New York or anything, but it's up there.
Okay.
Do you know people in Chicago?
I don't, but Milwaukee is very close to Chicago.
Okay, so play it by ear and see who reaches out for you or who you're suddenly gripped to reach out to.
Okay.
You know, and keep asking Spirit, and we'll send light with you.
Okay, thank you, Veronica.
You're just a sweet soul, and bless your heart.
Thank you so much, and again, happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
Okay,
bye. Bye. All right, you guys, I really am appreciating these callers tonight. Let's do a meditation. I like to do a meditation altogether because it increases the coherency. This makes us vibrational community. And I keep talking about my birthday just because I think I was just thinking about Cynthia and all of you, actually. It's all about me, and you can say it's all about you. You need to clear out and center a lot of the aspects of yourself in order to manifest. Our last interview was, oh my goodness, next interview is going to be very exciting, actually. Last interview was Joe Vitale, Dr. Joe Vitale from The Secret, and he was so good about manifesting. He was talking about how basically you have to get in the flow, and you got to get in the flow. But when we're talking, for example, to Cynthia or any of us who've had a lot of stress, there isn't so much of a flow. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of crackling lights and things firing off and reactions that are coming up and fears and shames, even like the fellow who got stabbed. He's on the other side and he's got a lot of shame and he has to work his way out of that particular bardo, if that's the right use of the term. And I'm saying, when we do our sacred geometrics, or when we have a birthday, you know, it's like you want to center into your real self, because this is the birthday is kind of the day of the centering of you, or the arrival of you through the universe. You're the only one in the universe that's you. So I kind of love to think of birthdays as being, I don't know how to say it. I guess I'm just all over the place verbally. But I just feel like it's a grounding rod. It's a place for me to center into who I am, not who I can react like, who I can defend, who I can compare, who I can be labeled. It's just beingness of self. And that's what's going to bring Cynthia forward in no uncertain terms, the deepening into the beingness of self. So let's do our sacred geometric meditation. We'll short form it tonight so that we can all go into a higher frequency energy, be more in integrity with who we really are, raise our fields in frequency, and then manifest through our visualizations all together. Do a bit of healing, a little bit of political activity. Woohoo! And then some of you are going to call in again. All right. Take a deep breath. And close your eyes. Above your head, about 2 miles, a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light right through your spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided pyramid from the upper golden ball to about waist height. And then upside down, another four-sided pyramid. And its point pokes into the lower golden ball. So the pyramids meet base to base. And that means you've now got an eight-sided structure called an octahedron around you. If you let yourself be really sensitive, you can feel that. Feel the energy of this octahedron. And now we're going to change the energy inside of the octahedron. We're going to create a crystal ball. And that crystal ball will touch the inside edges of your double tetrahedron or your octahedron. Now you're inside of a ball. And the energy changes. Can you feel it change? It should soften and be a little more feminine. And inside of that, we're in a star, a three-dimensional Star of David. Good. And then I want you to spin and spin and spin. And your three-dimensional Star of David, I want you to spin and spin and spin. Or you can think of it as the Merkaba, the Makaba, which is the light body you use. It's a vehicle, your own vehicle for changing dimensions, moving through galaxies. Because remember, you're a vibrational vehicle of light first and foremost, physical second. Now, as you're spinning and spinning and spinning, look in front of you. There's a magical screen. And the first movie on the screen is you and what it is you want to become. Excellent. What do you want to become? I always want to be multidimensional, consciously multidimensional. That's right. That means I want to be awake in all the dimensions at once. I get snippets of that. Do you? But I don't get it all the time, so I'm asking for that. What would you like to become? You don't have to be multidimensional consciously. You can if you want. And then when you get to the point where you feel like you're achieving that, wrap it in light, move it over to the left. And now the second screen is, what is it you want to create? It's going to be a lot simpler this week, but I'm not telling you what I'm putting in there because I have told you things before, and if it doesn't happen, I get neurotic. So. So what is it you want to create? See, all the resources, the money, the time, the space. That's you creating what you want to create. And see all the pieces coming together. And then when they all come together, woohoo! And you've got your situation accomplished, whether it's a movie, book, a TV show, a family, a partnership, a business, a world travel, it doesn't matter. See all the pieces coming together. And when you really see it just nurturing beautifully, then you bring all the resources in to make it, to sustain it, make it last. That's right. I see it working its way into the world and becoming more and more powerful. And then wrap that in light, move it over to the side. Now we're going to do the Galactic Healing Center. We're going to call in a healing table. It's beautiful. Then we've got a ring of guides going around the table, and it's our healing guides. And now remember that we all are imposed upon by our ancestral links. So our healing guides all have their ancestral links as well. And every level has got its own, and every level's got its own. So you have this healing team around the table, and beyond them are banks and banks and banks of other amazing healing teams from all the ancestral levels. We're asking for them to experience healing and to clear all the driftwood of past experience, karma, lineage, and all that. There we go. You can feel the buzzing of the light there. And now you're the first person to lie on the table. So plop yourself down and look around at these banks of light around you. And ask your, you might want something in particular done with you, some healing work. Good. And to ask them for help with that. Now, if you don't really know, you just want them to help you. That's it. They'll tell you something about yourself. Okay. Now when you feel like you've heard the message or you can remember the message, wrap that in light and move that scenario with you in it over to the side. And then we have a fresh table, and in comes somebody you bring in. Yeah. I'm bringing in somebody who's, she's struggling with MS. We're bringing her in. Actually, I see three people with MS. Isn't that interesting? So we have here our teams. Our healing teams are magical. They can replicate themselves because guess what? They're multidimensional. Woohoo! I want that. And we have them wrapping around each table because we now have three with MS. One woman and two women and a man. Yeah. Okay, and so we're just, they're working on them. That's right, they're working into the brain pattern and into the cellular structure. Or I guess we could say into the DNA. And remember, they're going back into the lineage. That's right, so they're going to talk to the beings of light that stand strong in every dimension. And that that they've inherited from their own lineage. So there's like banks and banks and banks of guides that have their own guides that have their own guides that have their own guides. It's like a valley of mirrors, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm asking, what I'm quiet about is I'm asking if they could give us any clues of what would help these people. One of them in particular needs a detox. She's got some kind of awful kind of metal stuff in her body mind. Mm-hmm. One of them's got really terrible, not only bad nutrition, smoked a lot, but has, when he was young, but also has kind of really bad, and maybe it all goes together, really bad circulation. It's having a huge impact on his gastrointestinal tract. So they're moving that for him. Yeah. They're moving the energy of that. And now they're moving his brain pattern. And then the other one, this thing has a very much like the woman at the beginning. But this one has like brain trauma and it's a DNA thing, but it's also something about the spine that's holding. Yeah, one of them has, I said, the gastrointestinal block and the energy flows, but this one has, his spine has been crooked his whole life, and he's also inherited a certain propensity, which means that the energy just doesn't flow. And he's been lost ever since he was born, and that's the emotional part of this thing, that the energy just doesn't flow. Remember, if you and I have energy and we're really getting conscious of it, we can really enhance our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being, even our transcendent well-being, by continually getting that energy to move. There you go. Continually. Remember, a lot of the energy, because that's what they're wanting to do with the third person here. And remember, a lot of that energy is blocked because of past life experiences or childhood experiences or trauma that's been somehow embedded in the cells. You're all really old, trust me. Some of you are older than others, still old is the name. Of course, it's my birthday, so I'm old too, right? Now we're just doing a lot of healing on this, all three people. And then they're wrapping those in light and moving them over to the side. And now let's bring in our whole political system. Why not? Why not choose the whole political system? And at the very beginning of this show, I was talking about the awakening process. It's part of the shift. Now the shift, if I still always go back to this, if the vibrational shifts, these huge downloads of consciousness come through every 26,000 years or change every 26,000 years, they don't screech to a halt. One day or 1 month or 1 week, or it's probably a process that takes years and years. And I see kind of the bubbling. Oh, goody, if you'll just hang on 1 minute, we're almost done here. You see the bubbling of possibility and shift coming up through the consciousness that you and I all share. We all breathe it, think it, you think thoughts that I think, and so many of them are just floating around out there. But the nature of the thoughts, the development of consciousness, that can be happening at the same time, only it's infusing itself in the collective bit by bit. So we're calling in higher frequency energies that are downloading right now. All the people who are in amazing political power, the lobbyists, all the kings, queens, and giraffes, anybody who's really in a state of power, let's call in these higher frequency energies. And call them and have your hands, call it in through the top of your head, circle it around your heart so that they're filled with love. Down your arms, out your hands, and now pat the feet or the perineums of people, all the people that you can imagine are in states of power. They're in our little healing table. Isn't it nice to be magical where you can put huge things on little teeny spaces and there's still room for more? How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Okay, keep infusing all of these beings with that wonderful frequency so they can make the shift. And then maybe we'll make the fifth dimension. Why not? I'm up for that, aren't you? Bringing heaven to earth. Okay, keep infusing it and then wrap that in light and move it over to the side. Now bring that light in again. Have it come down through the top of the head, whirl through the heart, down your arms, out your hands. And then pat that beautiful light round and round this planet and pat any of the areas where there's sickness, inequity. Oh, there's a good one. Do you think there's any inequity? Mercury in the ocean, pollution, spoiling the land, spoiling the food, the Monsanto idiocy. Everything's about money. I wonder if a few people are left and have all the money, but everybody's kind of dead. That wouldn't work too well, would it? So on and on. And you and I are praying so Mother Earth can be perked up and she can transform and she can shift out of this way of being into the fifth dimension, carrying a lot of us with her. And we're just infusing the earth. We're imbuing the earth. There we are. Now wrap it in light and have that light come back up your hands, your arms, swirl around in your heart, back up through your neck, out through the top of your head, out into the great central sun. Turn around and close off the galactic healing center. And now jump into your star tetrahedron, your three-dimensional Star of David, and spin, 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 spin. And we have a caller waiting patiently, I hope. Maybe you're not patient, are you? You're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there? Are you there?
I hung up on
him. Uh-oh. Well, I guess it's almost time for us to get off the air, is it?
Yep.
Okay. Well, guess what? We're going to be having John Gray is going to be up on Paradigm Shifters on Tuesday night. I'm so excited about that. He's got a new book. I think it's called Work It Out or something like that. I'm very excited about this interview. And I hope you'll tune in on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for Paradigm Shifters. And usually the podcast is up the next day. Sometimes it takes a day or two. And if you'd like to tune into my website with any feedback, talk about guests, talk about suggestions for guests, call me for a session, just hit the Ask Veronica button and make some comments of your own. So this is Veronica saying, well, we've got a couple of minutes yet. Be authentic. Be who you really are. Call in the lights. Learn how to move the energy because you and I are radiating and we want to do it consciously. We want to call in. Can you feel that? Call in the lights and the new downloads that are coming in from the universe. Have them come in and sparkle through your body. And then you know when you're going anywhere that you're a contributor. You go to the Safeway and you're lifting people there just by being. So the job for you and the job for me is to clear, accept whatever kind of feelings that you have that you don't necessarily approve of. Oh, I'm jealous, I'm angry, I'm bitter, I'm greedy, I'm the seven deadly sins, I think they call them, because they're really ripe in the Bhagavad Gita 8,000 years ago, and they're ripe today. And it doesn't matter what setting we find ourselves in, the process is about unhooking ourselves from the reactiveness that keeps building all kinds of stories and defenses and hoodly-hoo all through our body-mind. And that's what it's all about, and that's what we're radiating for. So again, this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. And let's breathe in a couple of, let's breathe in some of the wonderful frequencies. And breathe them out to one another. And feel the love when we're all connected. Because love is a great way to carry frequencies to a higher and higher level. Good night. Thank you for listening.